Om Shanti, good afternoon. So, today's topic is about influence. And we're always being influenced, aren't we? Anyone here who's never influenced? We're influenced all the time, whether it is through someone's drishti, whether it is through words, whether it is through things we see. Constantly the soul is being influenced. And the problem is that the more we are influenced by the iron aged realities and their deceptions, the more I'm going to find sorrow, the more I'm going to experience sorrow. So Baba's love is to guide me out of this maze of very negative influences in order to be liberated and happy. Because Rajyoga is all about the word remembrance. And remembrance is that I realize, I decide, and I follow that way that is going to let me only be influenced by God. I will be only be influenced by an energy that will take me beyond the influence of all the other energies that are creating many, many, many karmic accounts, visible and invisible. And so the word remembrance is a key factor in remaining uninfluenced. And remembrance is actually the love that the soul has for Baba. And it is that ability to absorb only from one source in order to sustain the self. Because in order to sustain the self, thinking we'll find love and happiness and support, we have allowed the self to be influenced by many people and things. And because it's wrong support, usually based on, you know, it's usually based either on selfishness or fear. And when these two things, selfishness and fear, influence me a lot, I become rather blind and I take a wrong support and therefore a wrong influence. And in time, of course, I will see, you know, that it was wrong, but sometimes a little late. And so Baba gives me the method to protect my mind. Because especially it is, of course, the mind that gets influenced very, very, very easily. Either by one's own self, either by others. And so what is it that enables my mind to become very, very strong and remain immune? It is not just saying man man above. It is not just saying Om Shanti. What is it? It is actually my intellect. I take the companionship of my intellect, but my intellect filled with an aim to which I have given my personal faith and my personal commitment. Because that aim of commitment and faith in my intellect is able to keep, not just keep watch on my mind, but is able to discern what comes into my mind, either from my old personality, my old, especially my old needs, and my old ways of being sustained. Because very often I don't see it when I am in my normal consciousness. It's only when I am in my soul conscious state, which means that my intellect is committed, it's lit up with the aim that I have chosen, then it provides a protection. But The way to move ahead is actually not to keep thinking what I must not be influenced by. This is actually very laborious. And it's tiring, and you get fed up. What is happening now is actually that Baba and time are invoking an old memory within the old souls. That's why we became Brahmins. You know, that was an old memory. Drama and Baba influenced the soul. A very good influence, of course, it was. And I started to feel, not just intellectually understand or remember, but the soul also started to feel that its original role, its original relationship, its original way of being fulfilled is through the relationship with God. And the relationship with God also means the task of God. And so that memory emerges. There's that pull. But, you know, it's one thing to be pulled and to be attracted. But it's another thing then to sustain that spiritual attraction. And I will be sustained by the spiritual attraction of belonging to God and playing the part to serve souls when I pay attention to my own self. And I'll pay attention because, is there anything else that I would prefer in terms of my purpose? In terms of my quality of being, in terms of the way I wish to live, is there anything else? And you see, one way that stops negative influence is to sit down with myself and really ask such questions. Because I have to always really recommit myself during my Brahman life. I have to make firm my original decisions. But for example, when we heard in the beginning when Baba told us about, yes, you are incorporeal, Satopradhan. Satopradhan, fully free being, fully liberated being. It's always linked to the non-physical state, at least in the beginning. Golden Age is another thing. But the Confluence Age, which is that state of being really bodiless. What does it mean to be bodiless? It doesn't mean not to have a body, exactly. What does it mean? How can I be bodiless in a body? Somebody may ask, you're a bit strange, aren't you? How can you talk about being bodiless and you're in a body and you're eating and you're, you know, this and that and you're talking and this? To be bodiless in the bodily, in the body, yes, it means first the awareness of my invisible form. The awareness of my invisible form. And my point-like form cannot be held by anyone, cannot be owned by anyone, cannot be caught, nothing. It is, that form is subtle, invisible and free. But also the quality of being in that form. Two things usually. It is very deep feeling of completeness and extreme feeling of contentment. And the deeper these two feelings and experiences are, as my personal reality, the less effort I have to make not to get influenced. I just won't. The more needy I am to be appreciated, to be respected, to be given this, to be given that, to be shown this, to be shown the other, the more I am like that, the more definitely I'm going to be influenced. And then I'm going to be pulled into subservient relationships, which the Iron Age, that's the whole ethos now is subservient relationships, which actually are not relationships. They're just, as the word subservient indicates, and as Baba pointed out this morning, bondage. I am obliged. And when there's the feeling of obligation, there's always resentment. Everybody wants to divorce everybody now. Everyone. I don't just mean husband, wife, parents with children, children with parents. We can't be together. Afraid to be alone, but can't be together. And that's the indication of subservience. And the reason I'm subservient is because I haven't cultivated the reality of what I am. And to know that all things are inside me. The love, the peace, the happiness. So these two things, completeness and contentment. And Baba gives the soul this experience. Every Brahman soul has this experience, especially in the beginning. And when Baba gives me this experience of himself, because in the experience of the incorporeal, Baba gives the soul the experience of what he is and how he feels. And it stimulates my memory again. Yeah, this is what I am. The truly liberated state is only from this feeling of completeness and contentment. The soul doesn't pull on others and is not pulled by others. It's very happy with itself. I'm very, very happy to be me. Who can say that? Non-egoistically, of course. Who can say it? With faith. And so the soul is constantly pulled magnetically to this incorporeal silence, incorporeal being, because that's the truth of everything. And this is what we learn at the confluence time. We just not just learn it as a piece of knowledge, we learn it as an experience. And also not just as an experience, but as a fact of being. And then the other thing that we become very attracted to is the Kamatit stage, which is the angelic form. And so Brahma Baba becomes the one who guides us into this consciousness. Because the Kamatit stage is possible only when I have a very deep, deep sense of self-worth and a spirit of generosity. Because that will finish my selfish desires. I will recognize them. What's coming from greed? What's coming from ego? What's coming from attachment? And I don't want it. Because my destiny, my role at this time is to really be a being of light. Baba's light hand, right hand, free hand. So he can use the soul as he wishes to serve the whole human family. So when I'm influenced by that destiny, when I'm influenced by that vision, then I can easily recognize that the promises of Maya. You know, Maya makes so many promises. Maya's, for example, attachment. Maya promises, oh, you get lots of love. A lot. You'll feel well. This person will be able to fulfill your every need. Or this role will be able to make you feel your self-worth, that you are something. And it's all phony, you know, it's all empty. But because our need is great, our intellect gets blind, and then the soul falls into the trap and just gets influenced again. But the problem is, and the pain is sometimes, one knows this, realizes this, but gets into it again and again. Or, I know all of this, But to start to put it into practical action on a more permanent level seems a little difficult. So it creates frustration. The point, the method is not to make so much effort. What I need is just position myself every day. I'll speak a little bit about that later on. So it's not a matter of effort to be true. It's actually positioning myself in the true and the faith in that. And then God is there, you know. If I'm influenced by God, then so much will be done. If I just rely only on myself, then I'll have to labor a lot. It is in surrender that I will find liberation. It is in surrender that I become free of circular efforts, tiring effort. Because to surrender, give myself to Baba, then of course he will give himself to me. And he does that, and we all experience that, but you know, sometimes we become a little unconscious. And so some difficulties come up. And why is it anyway that we should make this effort not to be influenced by limited unreal things? Yes, an obvious one is not to get into sorrow again. I don't want to lose my honor and my dignity over and over again. Plus, you know, I've done it for so many lives, that's it. One is that. But the other thing is that if I'm influenced in the right way, then what will increase is energy. Spiritual, pure, healing energy will start to increase in the soul. And Baba emphasized in the morning, the Muli, also spiritual energy, because it is spiritual energy in the form of love that keeps the soul protected, that keeps the soul enthusiastic. And you see, we often use the emotional energy of love or the emotional energy of happiness. You know, people would always tell me, you know, let's go out and have a good time. I used to wonder, you know, what is a good time? And you know, in the Iron Age world, I think you know what it means, a good time. It's usually not so good. Because, you know, there's emotional energy, there's mental energy, there's physical energy, there's intellectual energy. All these are energies. I mean, the intellect, mind, yes, it's energy of the soul. But it's not clean. It's not clean. And so spiritual love is very different from emotional love. Very different. The results are like chalk and cheese. And so if I'm influenced by the false promises of Maya, if I'm influenced by the comforts that my old personality had or received from any of the, you know, the vices, which I never understood to be vices, then, you know, I lose the permanency of love. Because spiritual love is something that is permanent. And spiritual love will heal me. The spiritual love that comes from Baba, the spiritual love that comes from myself, for myself, and for others, and the spiritual love from others in the form of blessings will also heal the soul. And so I don't want to lose this. Why to lose it? Why to choose something else? And this spiritual healing energy of love, of happiness, of peace, it is produced only if I keep on the right track. And that right track is the track of honest love. Because I wish to love God honestly, sincerely. I don't wish to love him just because of golden age. I don't wish to love him just because he'll do this and he'll do that. When you love Baba very, very deeply, you're not thinking of any results or consequences. When there's that pure love, you're just face to face and you say, I'm yours. And then there's a great shower of power within the soul. And the soul is naturally influenced by the pure and the good and the best. It's the best love. At the Iron Age, it's not only the best love, it's the only love really available. And so a soul who is nurtured and influenced by this love is deeply being transformed. It doesn't have to think always so much, oh, I have to transform this. It's being transformed. Yes, of course we have to do our part. But again, my part is mainly of position and honesty, loyalty. And then Baba will do the rest. And so as the soul is being transformed by love, it starts to feel that, yes, it is only God's love, God's faith in the soul that then, yes, will make it into his companion, the angel. And so what will move me away from that influence? The worst thing possible, you know what the worst thing is? The worst possible thing to move me away from that influence. Comparing. It's deadly. It must be, I think, the sixth vice. And if I get into comparing, it's a very clear and obvious indication. I'm not listening. I'm not listening to Baba. I'm not listening to God. I'm not listening to what he's telling me about me. And you know, in any type of relationship, in any real communication, we need to listen to the other. And for our communication with Baba, I really need to listen properly. I have to listen to what he says about me. So if I start to compare myself with anyone, you know, I've lost the game. You know, and what I will just get into the spinning of feeling worse, feeling better, superior, inferior. A great waste of energy. Comparing and judgments. We do judge a lot, though we think we hear about this word. We hear that it's not a good thing. But, you know, I have to really check that I'm not doing it. I have to remain clear, clean, light. Let drama take care of things. Let Baba take care of things. For me, good wishes. Good wishes. Really, that's it. Good wishes will protect me from the influences of my own negative judgments. Because once I judge negatively, then I just get stuck in weaknesses of whoever, whatever. And another thing that breaks the positive influence, the divine influence, is expansion. Expansion of thoughts, words and actions. For either to argue, to convince, also just body conscious interest in, you know, useless things. We go on and on and on and on about things. This is why Baba's mantra is always, past is past, full stop. Past is past, full stop. Past is past, full stop. It is a mantra of God, for us. Not for him, but for us. Because expansion, again, it means a loss of power. Okay, if I know what I'm doing, I can expand, I can do things, I can say things, but I return. I go out, but I return. I don't go out and stay out. because then it's, I don't realize I have to return. So I have to watch, are my thoughts and my emotions in a state of expansion? Or I realize they are, and then I have to bring them back to the essence. Again, this is a matter of my personal observation. You know, I've got to create this little laboratory inside where I'm observing this. And I enjoy it, you know, when you're doing these exercises of observation, there is definitely going to be a positive result, an uplifting result. I feel really, yes, I'm a student. I'm learning, I'm gaining, I'm going forward. So it is not that it will make me feel heavy or hard. It actually will be making me feel very light and happy with myself. All true effort makes me feel happy with myself. Never guilty. Never feeling a failure. Yeah. If I'm doing that, if I'm feeling that, then it's something, somehow I'm doing it wrong. And really this stop, full stop, learn, full stop, learn, full stop. Don't keep judging, criticizing, feeling guilty, just expanding on ways. I have to see that I'm doing this and just stop it. No excuses. And then another thing that makes me move away from the influence of Baba's love and power is reactions. We react to the unexpected. And sometimes even to the expected. I used to always wonder, where does reaction come from? Do you know where, do you react? Or is it finished? Where, and I think, you know, because, you know, when you understand where it's coming from, it, you know, it gives you then the motivation and the energy, the strength to finish it. I mean, there may be many different reasons, but certainly the first reason is ego. You know, I'm reacting because of ego. It's not going my way. And then the ego says, but, you know, doesn't he understand? Doesn't she understand? Why are they doing this? All this type of reactions using these words should and would and all of that. It's my own ego. I'm holding on to very strong opinions. The more opinions I have, the more comments I'm going to make. I know that we always, you know, we are encouraged in our, those of you who, in the Anglo-Saxon system, like I was brought up in Australia, you know, give your opinions, give your opinions, give. Of course, it's not good to suppress, but also the other extreme of having an opinion about everything and wanting an opinion to be heard about everything is just as bad. But just as bad. A very opinionated person will be reacting all the time. And that's also an ego. But also opinions come from, reactions come from very deep expectations of something or of someone. That don't happen, so, you know, of course I'm going to react. So, you know, I lose my balance. I lose my compass, my spiritual compass that is guiding me to liberation and peace and self-worth as soon as I start to react. So, you know, I have to be very patient in this drama. Not with drama. I mustn't be patient with drama. Drama's going to do what it's accurate. It's not up to me. But in the drama, I have to be very patient. As God is. Yeah? Shiv Baba is very patient. He's always saying, according to the plan of drama, according to the plan of drama. He doesn't say, why doesn't drama work in this way? Why doesn't the actor do that? Because then, you know, once I start to think like that, I lose my stability. And once I lose my stability, this shaking stage, this constant shaking stage, the energy is running out. The positive energy is always running out. So, you know, what are some ways that I can really, you know, stop wrong influences? Practically. I think, first of all, I have to recognize I'm being influenced. This is why it's good to have company. It's good that we study together. And usually it's good that we live together. I know most people like to live alone, but actually it's good for living with others. You learn quicker, faster. If you live alone, it's very easy. But you live with other people, you know, it's another whole different thing. But anyway, because sometimes I can't recognize, I can't understand, I'm being influenced by something. We can be influenced by our senses. We can be influenced by the past. We can be influenced by desires. You see, one of the reasons sometimes I lose balance is, you know, I'm caught up in something. It can be people, it can be things, it even can be service. And usually the reason I'm caught up in something is something of a desire is there. Although it's camouflaged very well in the name of service, in the name of mercy, in the name of this, in the name of that. But whatever is causing me to feel shaky or irritated or hopeless, whatever, without me even knowing the cause, I understand something inside me I'm not seeing. And I want to be able to see it. And so the first thing is to recognize I'm being influenced. Because usually most souls don't realize. They just don't realize. And also, if I'm to be of really a cooperative friend to somebody, even when I see they're being influenced, again, the way I do it has to also be very kind. You know, kindness always wins. Always, in every situation. Kindness is even more powerful than love as a first step. If I can treat myself kindly and treat others kindly, things can shift. I can shift being influenced. I can help another not to be influenced. But if I'm like a bulldozer, or like a gorilla, you know, shaking others, you know, it's just I'm irritated. It's got nothing to do with trying to be cooperative in helping that other soul. It's simply my own irritation. Again, it's ego. But some people have this sense of correcting. And why? You ask them why? Because this is the right way. And you ask them, but how do you know that's the right way? Baba says. And this is the whole thing. I don't recognize that even, for example, I justify my wrong behavior. I don't recognize it. So, it's good to have the family. Because, you know, somebody will, sooner or later, tell me some things. And another thing, together with that, it's recognition, decision, and will. Willpower will keep me free also of recurring or repeating influences. And what is it that I do require to develop these things? Because I do need them if I am to be really only under the influence of the Father. How do you develop recognition to recognize things? This is humility. Not knowledge. Humility. If I have humility, you know, what is humility? I'm making a space for other possibilities, you know? Other possibilities. Yes. Another way of looking at it. Another way of understanding. So when a soul has humility, then their level of recognition also increases. Decision. Now, I'm making now a decision how I want to be. If I make the decision how I want to be, you know, I want to be half-half, and sometimes happy, sometimes sad. I want to be, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday a bit devilish, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday angelic. You know, however my aim is, then I decide then the effort that I'm going to make or whatever I'm going to do. But good decisions for my own well-being are possible when there is, you know, that desire for self-respect, to keep my dignity. So that concern for dignity and self-respect will help me to make clear and right decisions. But then once I've made that decision, I need willpower. That willpower to put this into action, you know, to be influenced by only the right things, whether it's God, whether it's knowledge, whatever it may be. Because I know that's going to create well-being, whether it's for myself or others. So what creates willpower? What maintains willpower? Because, you know, in the beginning you may have willpower, but then, you know, after a while, it starts to disappear a little bit. What I found is that people who have a lot of spiritual willpower, usually it is, they have a great spirit of generosity. They are generous. They want to be generous to themselves and to others. It's not that just, you know, sometimes people think that discipline will create that spiritual power. I don't think so. I think it's generosity. Because, you know, if you don't change properly, come under wrong influence, I'm not going to be able to benefit anybody else, you know, in the way that makes them come close to God. I won't be able to benefit myself either. I recognize that. And a few other things that help me to keep under the right influence is my, you know, daily alignment. Because one thing is knowledge, one thing is a class, one thing is the muli, which I need, which is very useful, it gives me an insight. But then what will give the soul power is its daily alignment to the things that it hears. Basically, the daily alignment to the aim. You know, I'm aiming for freedom, I'm aiming to be whatever it is, sweeter, more humble, angelic, more communicative with God, with others, whatever it is. I'm observing and I'm practicing, both observing and practicing, not just observing, observing and practicing. And when I align myself to an aim, that then is going to create a lot of quality in my life. Quality is, you know, purity. Where there's purity, there will be equality. Because, see, the only real equality exists in the golden and silver age. Eh? Although there's emperors and empresses, kings and queens and princes, and Baba speaks of maids and servants and all the other things. Actually, the religion there is of purity, and so therefore the vision is of equality. Because the vision is very natural, naturally respect. No effort for it. And in this world now, you know, when the purity finishes, then they have to set up systems of equality like democracy. But actually, the paradox is that the most inequality is in the last few hundred years. Maybe even before, of course. Huh? But the more impurity, the more inequality there is. Because there's all other kinds of influences, ambition and greed and, you know, preferences and things like that. Where there's purity, there's then that spiritual love, and spiritual love is never tied to just a preference. And so this is what we're aiming for. Bhav often speaks of equality. You can never get it in a political way. You can never get it in a social way. It can only be created in a spiritual way through personal change. Because sometimes we like to feel, you know, we should be equal. We are. Baba says you are. As souls, you are all equal. As souls, you are all students, all children. But for the self to feel equal, I have to feel pure. Not more knowledgeable, not doing more service. Not, it's not this. It is cleanliness of spirit. And then another thing that helps a lot is to take time out. Time out. You know, solitude. Baba calls this solitude and introspection. Just to be still, to be quiet. Stop thinking about work, about effort, about this, about that. Just to be very still. It's like when we go on holidays. Eh? Well, we don't now, but in go on holidays, you know, 3 weeks to the Seychelles and things like this. Time out. Just take a break. But I do need to take a break daily also. Because in that stillness, when I just move away from everything external, when I move away from those influences of the external, and not necessarily that they're always negative, I have to express, I have to act in the external. This is a necessity. But being able to step away from that and becoming very still, then, of course, I allow Baba to be able to influence me more. And I need that. And then this gets me to the last point, which is Amrit Vela. Amrit Vela is the time of vaccination. Immunization takes out all the germs and fills the soul with the strength not to be influenced by anything else. And sometimes people ask, what actually do you do in Amrit Vela? Nothing. No, don't do anything. Do you do anything in Amrit Vela? Churning is another thing, but that should have been done before, not at that moment. Developing relationships, all of that should have been thinking about done before, not at that moment. That moment I am face to face and the soul feels, yes, in God's presence. And then Baba's drishti just goes very, very deep and all those other things evaporate. The unconscious influences evaporate. And also I start to recognize also what is influencing me. You know, there are certain things that keep repeating, certain habits, certain sorrows, certain situations keep repeating again and again. And yeah, I use knowledge, I have the best intention, but I just can't seem to move away from it. Then in Amrit Vela, in Baba's presence, you know, it's not a matter of having great, fantastic meditation, not necessarily, just to be there, you know, with a lot of trust and a lot of faith. Being in God's presence, then I will receive that energy which will clear my intellect and help the soul to free itself, help the soul to recognize. So, Om Shanti. And now we have one whole hour of influence and influencing others positively. The World Meditation Hour. Om Shanti.